Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the conservative voice of Las Vegas radio, Marlene Lockhart, has the rundown.
Alan Stocks with KXNT debates whether Harry Reid saved any jobs.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Larry Mathias, Bill Brainerd, and Joe Gill. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
You're driving along, and out of nowhere, boom, there's a billboard. Free fruitcake plus a pooch equals a health insurance plan for just $29.99.
A reenactment not far from the truth. Question the company and their plan.
What's some tax?
1,400 teachers and school workers facing September layoffs. Then Harry Reid got emergency aid to keep them teaching. But Sharon Angle would have voted no.
I think the emergency is only in Harry Reid's mind.
It's the same Sharon Angle who'd eliminate the Department of Education.
Eliminate the Department of Education or simply cut it back?
I would like to go through to the elimination.
Teacher layoffs, no Department of Education. She's just too extreme.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
Which brings me to my world, radio. Kick it. Swindle Frog Ripoff ain't no jive. You get a year's worth of free fruitcake, a food, and a family health insurance plan for just $29.95.
A reenactment not far from the truth. Question the company and their plan.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are joined by Alan Stock. As all the listeners to KXNT know, he hosts the afternoon show from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday. Pleasure to have him on the program. And Alan, you got a little breaking news via the Democratic Party this morning from your interview with John Ensign regarding Sharon Angle and the funding for City Center. What exactly was discussed?
We talked a little bit about the funding there, the fact that he himself had made some calls on behalf of City Center, and he acknowledged that even though he and Harry Reid had both made calls on behalf of City Center jobs, that it wasn't that effective. I mean, that some jobs were created at City Center, but as most of the resorts will tell you on the Strip, it took, you know, some of the jobs away from some of the other places. Some people, tourists are staying now at City Center, but, you know, fewer people are staying at some of the other resorts. So it's kind of been a wash. And while Harry Reid's saying that he created the jobs, the whole story is, of course, is that some of the other jobs left some of the other resorts. So it's, again, it's kind of been a wash. And he admitted that on the air yesterday.
The Democratic Party, in their press release this morning that just came out a few minutes ago before we started this interview, was basically trying to drive a wedge between Ensign and Angle. Ensign has been supportive of Angle. Angle has accepted that support, but what they're saying is that there's a fundamental disagreement as to whether those phone calls should have been made. What do you think about that?
I think that as Senator Ensign said yesterday, he made the call. There may be a fundamental difference, but it's insignificant. He made the call. How much impact he had, or how much impact really Harry Reid had in this whole thing, is kind of nebulous, because again, it took jobs away from other resorts, and the tourists that who would have stayed at other places are now staying at the City Center, and so it's been a wash, and it was the least of the contentious issues that we dealt with. I mean, this wasn't that big of an issue, really. And if the Democrat Party is putting a release out, they're trying to make something out of something that's not there.
Alan, isn't it that Senator Reid was saving the construction jobs at the City Center? Had the funding not continued, the project would not have been able to be completed. So it wasn't an issue of filling rooms at that stage. It was an issue of providing construction jobs.
Well, they finished the construction jobs, and they got the construction jobs finished, and now they're trying to say, look, all the people who are employed at City Center right now and all the people who are staying there. But again, I want to go back to the fact that while the construction jobs were complete, they were able to complete the City Center, the fact that people are employed there right now, it's only a matter of the fact that they took a lot of those folks away from even their own properties, the MGM and some of the other properties. So, I mean, it's not that it added to the overall employment here. Our unemployment is still in Las Vegas officially about 14.5% statewide. You know, it's like 20% right now. So the fact that they made the phone calls, Reed and Ensign both, didn't help the overall unemployment situation here in Las Vegas.
But those jobs would have been lost. The construction jobs would have been lost. That's the issue. It wouldn't have been completed had the funding not come through. And the CEO himself has praised Senator Reed. So John Ensign's call may not have been effective, but apparently Senator Reed's was effective enough that the CEO has expressed appreciation.
Well, of course, the CEO has expressed appreciation. The CEO is solidly behind Senator Reed. He's putting his money behind him, and the whole resort is. So, of course, they're going to praise Senator Reed. And, you know, Harry Reid made phone calls on behalf of City Center and the MGM folks. And I'd like to know personally what he promised them, you know, as a result of that. Anyway, we know that when it came to Obamacare, you know, he promised Nebraska and Louisiana in Florida, all kinds of things, and we wound up picking up the brunt of what we would have to contribute to the Obamacare healthcare situation. So what did Harry Reid promise these people behind the scenes? I mean, we may not find out until after the election. So yes, it did continue the construction jobs, but on the other hand, overall, it didn't mean that much at all. I mean, again, you consider the fact that the unemployment is what it is here in Las Vegas. It hasn't changed. As a matter of fact, unemployment is gone up, so it really hasn't done a whole lot. The net result has not been a gain of jobs for Las Vegas.
Ask those people who continued working those extra months on that job if it made a difference in their lives.
Yes, of course it did. It made a difference in their lives, absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to give you the fact that those people were able to, you know, work a few extra months. But the overall help that the CEO is trying to say that, you know, how what great things it did overall for his resorts. It may have helped his resort a little bit, but again, it took away from other resorts. Tourists who would have stayed at the Sahara or at other places now were staying over at City Center. It's a wash. Our tourism hasn't increased that much at all. Matter of fact, we've had a decline at McCarran over the last couple of months. I mean, really, we're having economic problems right here, right now. And when Harry Reid took over as the Senate Majority Leader, we had a 4.5% unemployment rate. It's now 14.5%. What has he done as a net for the state of Nevada?
All right,
not a whole lot.
All right, let's take a break. More with Alan Stock. It'll be interesting to continue right after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Senior Fest returns to Reno Town Mall September 7th, 9 to 2. Information booths, entertainment, food samplings, health screenings. Call 348-0717. That's Senior Fest September 7th, 9 to 2. Brought to you by these sponsors.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Senior Fest returns to Reno Town Mall September 7th, 9 to 2. Information booths, entertainment, food samplings, health screenings. Call 348-0717. That's Senior Fest September 7th, 9 to 2. Brought to you by these sponsors.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Las Vegas' prime afternoon talk show host, Alan Stock. He airs Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 on KXNT. Alan, what are your thoughts on the debate on education from last Sunday? Were you fascinated?
Fascinated. I don't know why I was fascinated. It did highlight differences between the two candidates. I mean, it was apparent that they both are talking about, one, not wanting to raise taxes. They both want to improve education. But it was pretty obvious that that Brian Sandoval is talking about the fact that he wants to end tenure. Rory Reid does not. Brian Sandoval wants to include... he wants merit pay. This is something that Rory Reid has come out and said he absolutely opposes. He thinks it's the wrong thing to do. And, of course, when it comes to the issue of vouchers and choice, he's pro-choice when it comes to vouchers. I'm talking about Brian Sandoval, and Rory Reid is not. So, you know, there are some big, big differences when it comes to their approach to education.
What do you think about the idea, though, that teachers really, go year to year on these contracts? So how much tenure do they really have? If they don't get re-signed, bye-bye to any kind of tenure.
About the contracts, you were saying?
Yes, that they go year to year as far as contracts go. So the money's not there, they can't get hired.
Well, they can go ahead and try to renegotiate the contracts. If the unions will not renegotiate the contracts, obviously they'll have to let people go. I mean, that's just as what happened right here in Las Vegas not too long ago. So, I mean, those are the choices. And it's hopeful that the unions will allow for a compromise right now. I mean, right now we have a high unemployment rate. We have people having difficulties economically. And I think that when you look at it overall, they're going to have to cooperate with the next governor, no matter who it is. I mean, both of these men have said they're not going to raise taxes. So, I mean, what are they going to do in order to be able to sustain the number of teachers they have?
And that's a major issue in both of their proposals. Both have said that they will not increase taxes, but however, if the furloughs are extended and layoffs and cuts to state employees, which include teachers, is implemented, that would impact teachers. So do you think that either of these plans can be implemented without increased funding from somewhere?
I absolutely think it can be if they turn around and cut state funding. They've got to cut state funding. We've got to slim down the state budget right now. I don't think it's been slimmed down enough. I think that Governor Gibbons has tried, but I think there's more that they can do. Right now, we have to live with a very tight... people have to tighten their belts. All of us are having to do that on an individual basis. Everyone I know has had to tighten their belt. The state has got to do the same thing. If it wants to sustain the number of teachers we have, the state's got to find somewhere to cut. And if they don't want to cut in education, then they've got to find other areas to be able to cut. And I understand that education is, what, almost half of our state budget, if not more, but that means that other areas are going to have to be cut, whether it's Medicaid, no matter what it happens to be, it's got to be cut.
Well, Senator Horsford has said very clearly that he believes that with at least a $3 billion shortfall, maybe more, that it's going to have to be a combination of $1.5 billion in cuts and $1.5 billion in some kind of increases. Doesn't the fact that both of these gubernatorial candidates are saying no new taxes, if they keep to that pledge, don't they become irrelevant going into the next session?
If they keep the pledge, I was trying to hear you say, if they keep the pledge to not raise taxes.
Correct. Do they not become irrelevant as Governor Gibbons became, where the legislature just took over and wrote their own budget?
Well, I mean, there could be a battle between the legislature. I think that Governor Sandoval would be able to, I think, work much more effectively with the legislature than Governor Gibbons has been able to do. And right now, Sandoval is like 22 points ahead of Rory Reid. And I don't know about Rory Reid and whether or not he'll be able to work well with the legislature if he's elected. But I think Sandoval has got the personality of being able to work with these people. And they understand that he is... his desire is to make sure that education is tops and is better than it's ever been. But he also understands that we're in an economic problem right now. And if you've seen the polls, so I've seen the polls, I mean, no one wants an increase in individual taxes. No one wants an increase in taxes. No one. And well, so, I mean, I think that'd be foolish for anyone to try to push taxes through.
Okay, the Assembly Republican Minority Leader, Pete Gokachia, talked about putting on a food tax on this program a week or so ago and raised a lot of hackles. As I mentioned, Senator Horsfoot has said $1.5 billion in increases and $1.5 billion in cuts. Senator Raggio has looked at the situation and said that you know, potentially there's going to be some revenue needed. How do we make all this happen, and how does the governor remain relevant if he goes into this thing saying no new taxes? Where's the compromise area once you become governor to work with the legislature?
Well, two things let me say. First of all, I talked to Gokachia as well about the food tax, and he only said it was something that he was floating out there. He didn't really expect it to go through because most people are not going to want to have an increase in our food tax. The people who would be hurt the most if we had an increase in food tax would be the people who can least afford it. I mean, some guy who's making a couple $100,000 a year, you add another couple of bucks to a meal, big deal. But somebody who's making very little amount of money, you start putting taxes on their food, and that's going to be a very difficult situation for them to be able to live with. And he acknowledged that. So I don't think that's going to happen. In terms of in terms of trying to balance and how you create more dollars, you cut. It's not a matter of compromise and say, okay, if we cut here, let's raise taxes there. Again, the people of the state of Nevada have spoken, and they have said we do not want to raise taxes. And this election, I think, will also show which legislators who have come out and said, yeah, let's raise taxes. Some of those people are going to be dumped this coming November. People do not want taxes raised right now. It's not even that fact that people don't want them raised. People can't afford to have taxes raised right now. And I think that's something that I hope the legislature does understand. Those people running for office, I hope they understand if they intend to get reelected.
And that's where we have to leave it. Alan, always good to talk to you. We'll see you on the radio. Thanks so much for being here. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers with the Pundits after this timeout.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
On the next face-to-face, the State Ethics Commission is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Nevada's high court. The commission says the state court's ruling could tie the commission's hands when it comes to keeping elected officials on the straight and narrow. Next, face-to-face.
This Labor Day, you could choose the kind of bed that keeps you tossing, turning, and waking up with back pain just because it's on sale. Or you could choose this, a revolution in sleep called the Sleep Number Bed. A bed so ingenious, it calibrates to the precise zone of comfort your body needs.
Wow.
And now for Labor Day, announcing our biggest sale of the year. A sale so big, every single Sleep Number bed set is on sale, with savings of $100 to $1,300. And Queen mattresses now starting at just $599. Now's the time to graduate from coils, springs, and sleepless nights to a bed that in clinical trials relieved back pain in 9 out of 10 people.
This is probably the longest I've been on my back. I usually can't stay in this position.
A bed that adjusts separately on each side so couples can finally sleep soundly together in the same bed.
I actually enjoy sleeping next to my husband now.
Hurry in before Labor Day to the only place you'll find the Sleep Number bed, a Sleep Number store near you.
Walk-in Wednesday. This Wednesday and every Wednesday. No appointment necessary, just come in. Loud and loud. Real answers right now.
The Fact Finder team, only on News 4. This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Bill Brainerd is here, the community activist, Larry Mathias, executive director of the Nevada State Medical Association, and Joe Gill, the attorney. Welcome to all of you. So I thought it was interesting reading in the Review Journal the article about the Clark County School Board sticking with a $270,000 salary as it looks for a successor to Walt Rolfes. You know, the amount of money that's being paid out, considering the economy, shouldn't we be looking at paying a little bit less, finding somebody who really would like to do the job and where money isn't the only thing that they're looking at?
Well, I'm not.
And I don't mean just in this particular instance, but I mean across the board.
Well, I'm not certain that money is the only thing they're looking at, but it would be nice to have somebody come up with some solutions with regard to education and, some programs that would help in the education field. So, as you know, executives they set their own salaries as they go around the country. In other words, one superintendent makes X. Okay, well, if people in California make Y. I want to make Y. It's a vicious circle. Yes, the public has to step up, Sam, and they have to say, we're not going to do, we're not going to put up with this anymore. We're not going to have the GE people making that kind of money. We're not going to have superintendents.
All right, well, let me ask you this. I mean, because, one of the things is, if we don't pay this kind of money, we're not going to get the caliber of people. They won't stick around. But if you look at university presidents, they come and go. It doesn't seem like the amount of money that we pay them, in some cases, with all the benefits, close to $500,000 a year.
No, I think what we are now starting is reassessing what our assumptions are about compensation for administrators and executives in the public and private sectors. These were built up unrealistically to some extent over the last generation. But it's the last thing to be given up when you have the kind of economic recession that we've got now. The public does get it. The public is outraged at everybody. I mean, it's an unfocused anger right now. We'll see some of it on incumbents this year. We'll see some of it in people just stepping out and not voting. But the anger is because those who are the first to really feel the failed economy are now watching those things, not with the amusement that they did in the 90s, but with a certain amount of disgust. A very similar cultural phenomenon went on from 1929 to the end of World War II, where those who had their expectations set in the 1920s had to realign them, and the public changed their expectations, and everybody changed their expectations within a generation.
You're a student of history as well. You agree, Joe?
I was thinking of something else, actually. I don't begrudge the superintendent that salary, but I'm pretty close to a school teacher, and she spent at least $200, maybe $300 in the last couple of weeks getting ready to equip her classroom. That was out of her pocket for yesterday's opening day of school. So pay the superintendent what they're worth, but get some money down into the classroom so that every teacher I know through this person that I'm very familiar with spends money out of their own pockets to equip their classrooms, and that's dead wrong.
Marlene?
Well, I think Jim Rogers has offered to be the superintendent down there for $1.
Well, there you
right.
go.
Right.
So there's
solved.
Someone that the money isn't the issue.
And, and I just think that, I want to see the excitement of a person who wants to come here, wants to make a difference, whether it's within the system or outside of the system. And so often we just look at the amount of money and say, this is, what we need, and nobody in our system is qualified. And while Joe takes that call, and we just end up spending way more money.
Well, we're going to have to hold people more accountable under any circumstances for outcomes. And as long as the outcomes of our school system are the way they are right now, those who are in charge, as much as those who are in every day dealing with the kids and with the challenges, everybody's going to be held accountable. And that's throughout the system. It's the healthcare system. That's governmental sector. That's private sector. This economic disaster that we're living through wasn't caused by nature. It was caused by people making decisions, making bad decisions, many of them based on unrealistic expectations.
And do you think that we're waking up?
Well, some of us are, Sam. I don't know whether, you know, a solution is not all that easy to come by. But, yeah, I do really think we are. Of course, I hope in the next election that's going to be very obvious that we're waking up. But, you know, my wife's a former teacher also, and I have another comment. You bring kids into this world, you have some financial obligation yourself, so maybe some of your wife's kids should have their parents providing those supplies.
Well, you know, there was an article just recently that the list of things that kids need to bring to school has increased dramatically, yeah. And it's now become a big sector for places like Office Depot and, mm-hmm. and Walmart.
Well, but we have schools in this district that are located in very affluent neighborhoods. My wife happens to teach in a less than affluent neighborhood, and yet the amount of money that the affluent schools get per pupil is more than the ones in the less than affluent neighborhoods. So there's a disconnect there too, and it's all based on some stupid formula that an accountant put together somewhere. And they don't go out into the classrooms and see what those kids need in those at-risk schools. So, Bill, with all due respect, sure, parents should take care of their kids. But in some of these cases, in some of these places, the parents are barely surviving, barely making it, barely making a car payment, barely finding enough gasoline money to get to their job.
And that's where we have to leave it. I thank you all very much. We'll be right back to Nevada Newsmakers after this time.
If you or a loved one was diagnosed with mesothelioma or any other asbestos-related cancer, call now. Mesothelioma is a rare cancer, one of many linked to asbestos exposure. Exposure to asbestos in mills, shipyards, or in the heating, construction, and automotive industries may have put you at risk. Secondhand exposure to people close to you may have also resulted in mesothelioma. Please don't wait.
Call 1-800-893-7993. That's 1-800-893-7993. I'm a non-attorney spokesperson for James Sokolov, Wellesley, Mass.
Non-surgical spinal decompression ends chronic back pain.
I'm getting up in the mornings now, and I have no pain. And I'm also going to bed at night with no pain.
I can do anything I want to. Nothing hurts. I feel wonderful. It's changed my life, truly.
You could be free of back pain in just 3 days. Call 336-3472 to book a 3-day trial now. 336-3472.
Why should you hire a personal injury attorney? To prevent insurance companies from taking advantage of you.
That way, you don't have to go it alone. You need someone to fight for you.
When you're injured, it can change your life. And life-changing decisions need to be taken seriously.
When you hire Bob and me, all you need to worry about is getting better. And let us get you back on track.
Call Galloway and Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
Get the ICDA Plus Advantage at I Can Do Anything Charter High School. With small classes, a caring staff, and individualized learning plans, your child is placed by need and can recover credits or move ahead by testing out of class. If your child loves the arts, ICDA offers dance, visual arts, and digital arts programs. Your child can hit the ground running towards graduation at I Can Do Anything Charter High School. ICDA is a free public high school and is now enrolling for fall semester. Call 857-1544 or visit us online.
On the next broadcast, State Senator Bernice Matthews, plus the principal of Matthews Elementary School, Melissa Olson. It'll be a great show. Don't miss it.